It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. From mild, rainy, and in the 40s Sunday to an all-time record low of minus 9 Tuesday to 50-degree temperatures by the end of the week, we're experiencing unprecedented temperature fluctuations and weather patterns. So the question is, what's going on with this wacky weather? I'm joined now by science expert John Rodzilowicz, Director of Professional Development at Asset STEM. John Rodzilowicz, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
If you have a comment or question for John, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. John, like many Pittsburghers, you were certainly feeling the effects of the polar vortex and the record low temperatures yesterday.
Yes, I was, as I was thawing a pipe when you called me. Had made the mistake of not leaving the water running in one of the pipes and paid the price for it.
Well, hopefully that situation is corrected. And what should people know about, not that you're necessarily an expert in this, but what should people know if you know, we should happen to reach these record lows again sometime during the course of this winter?
Mm-hmm. Oh, in terms of what I should have done with the pipe?
Yeah.
I should have let a trickle of water running on that particular faucet. I had done with that with some of the others. And so, unfortunately, what happened, the water sat in the pipe. The pipe was up against the outside wall and froze. But easy fix. A little difficult to get up into the ceiling along the basement wall, but hair dryer.
Pulled out the trusty hair dryer.
And about 15 or 20 minutes of that and got everything flowing again.
Okay, so looking at the big picture here, the temperature was above 40 degrees mm-hmm. on Sunday, and after bottoming out yesterday, it's predicted to be over 50 by the end of the week. Have we seen this kind of dramatic climate fluctuation before?
Well, we have seen big fluctuations in history, but the reality is we're seeing much bigger fluctuations over much shorter periods of time. So we are beginning to set some records, and we're beginning to see patterns that we haven't seen before. And what's happening with this particular case is people have heard the magic words polar vortex for a while. What we're seeing is that the climate is a very complicated system. The polar vortex is something that we've known about for a very long time. It's existed for millennia over the Arctic. But what's happened is we've created situations where those pockets of air become unstable and are shifting in ways they haven't before. And it was the shift of that polar vortex bringing cold air down onto the United States that's made the change we've seen. And now what's happening is the polar vortex is receding, taking that cold weather with it.
And this is something that I grew up in this city. You've lived in this city for quite some time. It's just normally when you get a cold snap like we've had, the temperatures will warm up, but it will be a very gradual warm up. This is something that is just very strange that I don't think any of us as human beings have experienced, certainly in this city. How does it impact a person and your resistance to what's going on in the atmosphere, the viruses that might be out there, and that kind of thing?
Sure. We don't know all of the things that are coming out of this, but what we have to, again, think about is what's happening globally in terms of weather systems. All across the planet, there are a variety of currents in the water, in the air, highs and lows in terms of pressure and temperature, and these patterns repeat usually in certain regular ways within a range. And as we go through the seasonal changes, we see the temperatures rise and fall, as you say, usually in a pretty predictable pattern. What's happening is those normal patterns are breaking down. And so air masses are moving in ways they haven't moved before. The jet stream, for example, has been shifting dramatically the last few years, dropping lower, then pulling very high up into Canada, dropping back down again in ways that we wouldn't normally see. And so the patterns that we grew up used to are all changing. And so we can't say that we're going to see those same sort of temperature changes that we've always known.
And let's maybe backtrack a little bit. We've been hearing the term polar vortex all week long. Have we done enough to explain to people what that is?
Well, really what we've got here is as the Earth spins above both poles, there is a certain column of air that basically gets trapped in that area above the pole and goes west to east with the rotation of the Earth. Those areas, of course, are normally extremely cold, so that air becomes very, very cold. And as it spins around, the pressure in that air drops. The air surrounding it is generally warmer, and has higher pressure and builds almost like a fence that holds these pockets of air above the poles. And that's one of the reasons that the poles can be so brutal in terms of their weather. What's happened is that little pocket that normally stays within that fence, well, we've knocked a few holes in the fence. What's happened is we've seen that in the Arctic over the last several years, a dramatic drop in the amount of ice that we see when we get into the summer months. In fact, in 2012, we set a record again for the least amount of ice. We're basically losing all of this ice, and what happens is more moisture and more energy enters the atmosphere. So during those summer months, more moisture and energy is building up. When the winter comes around, we don't get quite the low that we need to hold that air confined in the fence. Instead, its pressure goes up. The pressure of the surrounding air comes down a little bit, and now the fence becomes permeable. There's nothing to bump up against. And so it begins to move more easily out of that area. So it becomes super cold in the north, and then it can slide down over Europe, over North America, and get pushed back up again.
And it's moving faster.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what?
Yes, largely because of change in other air currents around it, like the jet stream that I mentioned, and things that sound, you know, sometimes very complex and confusing to people. There are all kinds of currents and oscillations and pattern changes that we've known about for many decades. We've given these names to, like the North Atlantic Oscillation, the South Atlantic Oscillation, the jet stream, the North Pacific Oscillation. These are all air currents. And as these currents have changed, because, again, we've changed the amount of moisture and energy in the system, we've raised that, they begin to act differently. They come out of their normal route. And so the path that they've sort of worn, the road that they usually travel, is not where they are anymore. They've come out on the side of the road. And as they begin to shift, other pockets of air, sometimes colder, sometimes warmer, sometimes wetter, sometimes drier, move to areas where you don't normally see them. And we talked the last time I was here about the fact that one of the things that's happening as these shift around is more moisture gets moved. So, for example, we've seen some storms where the rainfall has been tremendous. We've been setting records with that. It's the same thing. We're moving around air flows that have not shifted in this way for many, many centuries.
We're talking with John Rodzilowicz, Director of Professional Development at Asset STEM. And if you have a comment or question for him regarding the climate situation that we're seeing with the polar vortex and the unusual temperature fluctuations and weather patterns, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. John, when it gets as cold as it has been, you sometimes hear climate change naysayers make remarks like, so much for global warming.
Right.
Does this, in fact, do anything to disprove the idea that the Earth is getting warmer and that there is, in fact, global warming?
No, just the opposite, in fact. These kinds of changes in the polar vortex were predicted at least as far back as 2006, 2007, that we would see shifts like this in the years ahead. So this is confirmation. Again, if we think about what climate change really means, across the planet at any given time, we have cold areas, hot areas, we can have deserts, and we can have frozen wastelands all existing at the same time. And the reason that those happen is because of how air masses are contained and how they move. What we've done with climate change is we've shifted those patterns. That doesn't mean that you still won't get a cold area and a hot area and a wet area and a dry area. And what we're seeing, however, though, is these shifts are happening very, very rapidly. These are changes that normally might take thousands of years to happen. And instead of seeing them over thousands of years or centuries, we're seeing them over decades. And we've been having these changes occurring for the last 20 or 30 years. Now they're reaching a point where I think it's very hard to deny that we're seeing these rather weird and dramatic changes in the weather patterns.
How do we know that this is not part of some natural climate evolution?
Mm-hmm. The thing that points to it most is the timing. Again, when we look back at the historical record, whether we're looking at ice cores, whether we're looking at solar activity, there are a whole variety of things that you can check. In every case when we look at those, we see changes happening over very, very long periods of time. These are extremely rapid. We don't have any other mechanism other than global warming that we can point to that would create these kinds of changes over such short periods of time. That's one of the main things we have. And again, people get confused about the idea of global warming. the scientific argument on global warming has been settled since the mid-90s. We take careful measurements. NASA does a lot of this work. We have other sources. We're measuring air temperatures, high altitude temperatures, water temperatures. The overall temperature of the planet is going up. And the climate change that's occurring is because of those changes. As the temperature goes up again, more energy in the system, more moisture in the system, that's what makes all the difference.
412-246-2002 if you'd like to join the conversation with our guest, science expert John Radzilowicz. Let's go to the phones. We have Lamont in East Liberty. Lamont, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
I wanted to ask the gentleman, does he think this deep freeze will end? Will we ever see summer again? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yes. Well, as you may have heard at the beginning, it's going to end rather quickly. By the end of the week, we'll be in the 50s. We may even be getting close to 60 over the weekend. But that doesn't mean that it can't come back. That's one of the problems. We've got this new instability in weather systems. And so we can't say that during the winter months again, because we still have a lot of winter ahead of us, that the polar vortex won't shift again. So like my guess is we're going to continue to see a sort of roller coaster probably through the rest of the season. But again, it's hard to predict any one case because what we've done is we've introduced some chaos into the system.
And I was talking earlier about how this affects us as human beings. We hear that dramatic temperature change, rapid fluctuation in temperature can wreak havoc with your body, that you are more susceptible to disease, illnesses, flu, viruses that might be in the air. Is that true? And if so, why is that?
Yes. Well, really what we're talking about is how your immune system works. You know, of course, people have misunderstood for a long time where colds come from, right? And your mother always told you, don't go out without a jacket. You're going to catch a cold because cold and somehow you got this disease. But of course, what happened was by becoming cold, you lowered your immunity. And so you were more susceptible to viruses that were around, and that's where the cold comes from. Well, it's sort of the same thing. Anytime you put any kind of living thing under stress, and one of the ways you can do that is rapid temperature changes, things like that, the immune system can be thrown off a little bit. So, yeah, I think there's very good evidence that when you do that, people could become more susceptible to illnesses. It's the same thing you see even when you work too much and you become tired, and then suddenly you're getting sick all the time. What was the connection? It's not that there was more disease at work or anything like that. By working too much, maybe not getting enough sleep, you lowered your immunity and you were more susceptible to the things that were already around you. It's the same idea.
So the idea that, okay, well, hey, it's going to be 50 on Sunday, we can all warm up and we're going to feel better, isn't necessarily true.
Yeah, your body, just like your house and your pipes, is not too thrilled to have the temperature going up and down. And keep an eye on the roads because they're not too happy about that either, right?
Right, right.
You see the stress that's created there. It's, again, sort of the same idea. Wide temperature swings over a long period of time creates stress on physical things, creates stress on organisms as well.
So it's like the Mother Nature's playing your body like an accordion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I like that analogy. That's a good one.
All right. But is there a summer equivalent to the polar vortex? Could we see dramatic fluctuations in temperatures during the spring or summer?
Yeah, we actually have seen that over the last couple of years. That's a great great question. What happens is the same sort of pockets of air that bring the warm weather with them, very often coming up from the Gulf, for example, or coming from the West, in our case, across the United States, those areas can become superheated as well and bring in much hotter and drier area. And so what's interesting is what we've seen over the summer months is we've seen high temperatures, very dry times, followed then suddenly by a pocket of very moist air that comes in and drops torrential rains in the same area and then moves on, and again, it begins to become hot. The last decade has been the hottest on record for the last 150 years that we've kept records.
Is there anything that mankind can do to alter this?
Yes, and I always tell people that I still don't think it's too late. What you have to recognize is that we are a big part of the problem here. These are not natural cycles. That what's happening is we see that we have introduced greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. Those greenhouse gases are creating this buildup in temperature, creating this increase. And again, people say, oh, a degree and a half, 2 degrees, that's not much. Again, complicated systems. When you make a change like that, that is a significant change to the global system. What we need to do is stop adding those greenhouse gases and look at ways that we might be able to get some of that carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. And the thing is, we haven't seen the political will yet to do that.
Which leads me to my next question, which is this is something that President Obama said that he would address when he took office, and he reiterated that when he won his second term. Are you seeing enough being done? And granted, it doesn't all fall on the president's lap, but is between the president, the Congress, the federal government, and the state and local governments, is enough being done to create green initiatives, sustainable energy forms that don't contribute to this problem?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think much more has to be done on the national level. And I think you're right. That's in many ways about leadership. One of the interesting things that we're seeing is that in the vacuum that has happened in the leadership in Washington in this area, communities along the seacoasts have sort of stepped in a little bit. And this has sort of been one of the quiet things that's happening. But most major cities like Boston and New York that are along the seacoast have already started to implement plans to figure out how they're going to deal with this happening. So they're not worrying about who's arguing whether or not global warming is happening or climate change is occurring. New York is already figuring out how it's going to function if the subways are flooded 50% of the time. What can they do to fix that problem? That's great. So we have ways to get solutions to the problem. The bigger issue is to get the leadership on the other end. Let's stop pumping the greenhouse gases in there. Let's do something on a national level so we don't have to have the fixes as much at the other end.
And assuming that a lot of that relates back to education and considering what you are doing, this is the first time you have visited us as a person in your new position as the leader of STEM research, STEM education, the program that you're involved with. Talk about what it does to educate people.
Right. Well, Asset STEM Education is a group that's actually been around an organization in Pittsburgh for almost 20 years now. We're a nonprofit educational change organization, and we focus on STEM education. And what we do is we provide high-quality professional development to teachers to show them how to teach these subjects in STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, and how that should permeate the entire curriculum and how to get that into their district in a broad sense. And we provide consulting services to districts who want to make those kind of changes. Right now, we're working with over 100 districts across the state, and we're in a variety of states across the nation as well.
Science expert John Rodzilowicz is Director of Professional Development at Asset STEM. John Rodzilowicz, thanks so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
My pleasure.
Coming up, we'll look at how social ventures and entrepreneurship are putting people before profit. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.